Thank you, Dr. Sankaran. Thank you, fellow panelists, and thank you more than my fellow panelists to the audience. I'm not being discriminatory because there's so many events you could go to. We are so glad you came to this one. And so the reason I have this little, before I go to the disclosure, you know, I have this little girl there or a woman with a big megaphone because that's what we need to be screaming, that women's health matters. And it needs to be included in all policies. So Amy was talking, Dr. Ansel was talking about children. So from C, we move to the W. Because without women, there's no child. Again, no relationships to disclose. So the objectives of my presentation today will discuss the relevance of including women's health at local, national, and international policies of countries, list the challenges women face when they have minimal or no access, and discuss the advantage of including gender-specific approach in health policies. The reason I talk about gender-specific health policies is there are so many studies where we don't know how the drugs affect women. Because one of the things they say is, oh yeah, women can get pregnant, you don't know what the effects can be during their reproductive age. But there are, unfortunately, some of the drugs prescribed, we don't know how they act because men and women have a different biology. So that's why it's very important we have gender-specific research and gender-specific policy. So health, as we know, is a core element, but unfortunately, a lot of times women's health needs are often disregarded and they're not included. That's why I just gave you that example. And the government of Finland, HIAP, I know it's been touched upon before by Dr. Sankaran, was looking at health and all policies, focusing also on the health-related rights and obligations. The rights are the rights of the people, the consumers, the obligations are that of the state and other policymakers. So what are some of the core features of the HIAP? Especially with reference to women, there needs to be socio-economic justice. They're key elements which have to be included in policy making. And also, these needs to be prioritized to seek synergies. That is important. That's why we're talking about partnerships. And Dr. Ansel was talking about partnerships. Now, these partnerships need to be at local, national, global levels. I mean, in this day and age, when we are all connected socially, like the world is hardly without any borders with regard to, connectivity. So I think these synergies need to be used to build a healthier and a stronger policy focused on gender-based health, because that is what we need. If more than one half of the society is discriminated and does not have enough access to healthcare because of the policies, that means we've been really missing the boat big time. Okay, so what is women's health? So when we are looking at women's health, you have all these factors which are really important. You have an economic transition. You have gender equality, human rights, and social justice. You have an environmental transition because the zip code, a couple of years ago, APHA, I think it was in California, do you remember? We were there, it's the zip code where you live matters. There was that big thing. So that's why, that's the environmental transition and the economic transition. And Dr. Ansel and I are from New York, and one of the things is, like, if you go to some of the zip codes in New York State, it's unbelievable. We have some pockets in Harlem which are almost as poor as in Bangladesh. And, that is the amount of disparities there. So, again, so it depends on where you live. And, again, Westchester, it's one of the richest counties in the United States, and there the access is different, what women have. So, again, so we are talking about how where you live matters, and then we are talking about human development culture. We need to understand that in order to attain the sustainable development goals or to go to develop as a community, we really need to look at the culture. And also social transition. The gender stereotyping is sometimes harmful for women's health. So this needs to be taken when crafting policies, especially in low and middle income countries where you have a lot of societal norms which regard women as chattel. And also women as caregivers. Because a lot of times women take on the burden of caregiving and they're not even recognized. So these are some of the things which all influence the policy. And the other issue is that I'm just going to read this because it says the complexity of the challenges faced by women throughout the life course needs an increased focus on health systems. And I think, I'm so sorry, Dr. Vasu Reddy, I missed your presentation because I couldn't clone myself. But I think, Dr. Sankaran, you were talking a little bit on health systems, which I just heard your presentation as I was coming in. So we need to look at when we draft, by we, I mean the global community, look at the complexity of challenges faced by women during her life cycle when developing and drafting and crafting policies. Because it's not that one shoe fits all. Because women at different ages have different health needs. So that needs to be definitely included in health policies. And also women are primary caregivers at home and in communities. So that is really important and we need to look at that too when we are looking at the policies. And Amartya Sen, the Nobel laureate, in his essay, 100 million women are missing, talked about the economic challenges and the economic burden faced because there were no clear-cut policies which prevent female infanticide. He said even before women are born, they are killed. So this is all relates to policy. Because it's not only the economics, it's the social, the whole development, which I talked about, the human development is definitely influenced by having robust gender-specific policies. And this slide talks about the mortality, and you can see the differences and the causes, and you can see in sub-Saharan Africa how disproportionate affected the women are. And you can see communicable maternal, perinatal and nutritional diseases. So you can see this, which is really interesting to see how the gap is so much reduced in higher income countries as opposed to sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. Again, it's economics. So think outside the box. One of the things we really need to be talking about is when we're talking about public policies, we need to look at water, sanitation, and social services. And yesterday at the opening ceremony, I think the the outgoing president of the APHA, Dr. Sharika, did I get it? Yeah. She talked about, she showed a very interesting slide, which I thought, which talked about how in our country we are spending so much more money on health than social well-being. So it needs to be that we also need to focus on social well-being. So this needs to be intertwined. And also trade regulation. Why are we talking about trade regulation? Because in so many countries, women domestic workers, women farmers, and in other sectors do not have the same access to resources like men. So there are different rules. So this needs to be addressed. Because what we need is equity. Because without equity, we cannot have development. And we are talking about sustainable development goals for the whole world, just not for the low and mid-income countries. So all these is like a three-dimensional puzzle. When we talk about health in all policies, it cannot be flat. It needs to be going up. It's both a bottom, from bottom up, a process and also a longitudinal process, in my opinion, because you need to be reaching out more, include more things in the net. And also the other thing is the health sector needs to, that's why I said you need to think outside the box, because health cannot just be, oh, we only deal health. We need to look at other issues. What are the determined socioeconomic determinants? So Sir Michael Marmot and his team have the outstanding report on the social determinants of health, which is on the WHO website, which is so crucial, and that definitely needs to be taken into context when we are talking about health in all policies. So when we're talking about SDGs, that's a Sustainable Development Goal, that's an acronym I'm expanding, because otherwise Dr. Sankaran will go like, you didn't expand that acronym. So the effect of environmental change is not gender-related, but most of the women and girls take up the domestic responsibilities. Even today, it's girls who are walking miles to bring water. And I would just like to remind everybody, November 19th is World Toilet Day. The reason we need to be aware is so many people do not have toilet, do not have access to proper sanitation, so they don't go to school. So we, in the gender-specific policies, we need to make sure there are bathrooms which work with running water in schools so that girls can go to school. So when we are talking about health in all policies, we can't say, oh, there are no bathrooms, but is that my purview? No, that's why we have to think outside the box. And the other thing is, one of the biggest challenges, we are coping with the burden of non-communicable diseases, but we are also coping with infectious diseases. Because, you know, Nepal, Haiti, after earthquake, they're still dealing with devastating effects. And we went to New Orleans last year for APHA, which I'm sure a lot of you came. And if you took the tour, you could see the devastation of Katrina. So what I'm trying to say is, in spite of all these burdens, we also have the continued burden of the infectious diseases. Some of the diseases can be prevented by having sanitation. So when we are thinking of health in all policies, we need to be focused on women and gender. And this is what I would like to, I'm almost wrapping up. Women farmers, if women farmers had the same access to credit and tools, they would be up to 150 million fewer hungry people. So these are actual figures. And as Dr. Sankaran said, they're just not figures, they're people. That means because of this discrimination, we have 150 million more than what we already have who go to bed hungry or who are living a life of, you know, poverty and hunger. So the Adelaide statement in health in all policies, which is really nice, that's why I have it up here. And one of the favorite, I think the most important one is to engagement occurs with stakeholders outside of the government. So it has to be a more transparent and open process. And also practical cross-sector initiatives to build partnerships and trust, because the trust is very important. Only then will you have people coming to the table to discuss. So Dr. Ansel just talked about the Beijing platform of action, but I just want to talk that even 20 years today, because this is 2015, it's 20 years after the Beijing platform, you can see how the critical areas of concern they laid out, how all these policies, women should be a part of all these. So it's really a very important document, it's living, and it needs to be incorporated in everyday life. So this is what I really like this slide. This is from UN Women, because in order to empower women, you need to picture how can you do it. By means, it's empowering is not a lofty word, it's not a goal. We actually need to see what can we do at all levels, at grassroots, by partnership, to make sure health is included in all policies which are just not health related. And that's when we can really empower women. And also, May 28th is the International Day of Action for Women's Health. So I would strongly urge you all to remember this for next year. And in conclusion, for sustainable development, we need to address women's socioeconomic and environmental contributions and include them. And unfortunately, even today, we have very few gender-specific policies, even in the United States and many of the other countries. So we really need to work to see what can we do. And these are my references. And I would just like to end by saying, please, let's all of us work together, because women's health really matters. And thank you for your time, and enjoy the rest of your stay in Chicago.